today. Amen.
Baruch Hashem. Really an honor and a blessing to be able to, that God would use someone like me to speak and, you know, to just share His gospel and share what He wants His people to hear. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with his heart and is justified, and declares with his mouth and is saved. The scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will never be ashamed. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, because they all have the same Lord. We all have the same Lord God Almighty. He gives richly to all who call on Him. If today isn't evident enough, I don't know what could be, because we've called on the Lord, and He is here, and He is overflowing. And I pray that the people out there would see this beacon, this cloud, this fire, and say, I want that. Let's follow that cloud. Let's follow God. Let's be delivered. Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered, will be saved, and we will follow His cloud. Because we call on the Lord. Say, God, here I am. Use me. That's what we pray, and God is faithful to answer that prayer. He said, okay, I will take you. There will be pruning, there will be chipping away, just like with diamonds. You know, you gotta do a lot with a diamond to make it look pretty. And it does the same with us. Even us gentlemen, we have to look pretty. So with all that, we just become children of light. And we just continue to follow God, continue to go His way, and He will provide us with our needs. Just like He did with our father Abraham and his wife Sarah and their children and their children's children. They just followed God and He provided them with all their needs. And God is just to forgive us our sins. It's always good to turn back to God every day and say, Lord, is there sin in my life that I need to take care of? If so, put it on my heart to give it to You so I can get rid of it, so I can continue to follow You. Because God wants clean hands and pure hearts to follow Him. And He has proven numerous times in history and even beyond history that He is gracious and He is just as well. But He's merciful and full of love. He loves you. He loves me. Collectively and individually. The Lord is good and just. Therefore, He will teach sinners. He will teach us concerning His way. He will guide the humble to justice. He will teach the humble His way. All the paths of the Lord lead to gracious love and truth for those who keep His covenant and His decrees. No man is righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners. But God has provided the way to cleanse us. All we need to do is call upon Him, and He makes us righteous through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts, when we've accepted Him, He's taken all that filth, all that garbage out of our lives and replaced it with His blood that He shed upon the cross. And He's filled us with His Holy Spirit to grant us the wisdom and the knowledge needed to follow His way and to go and teach the gospel to all nations so they too, so that everybody can call upon Him and be delivered. And that all would be made disciples and learn the discipline needed to follow Him more thoroughly and fully. So we receive blessings not only in this world, but in the world to come. And He is always there to teach us in the way everlasting. We find this way everlasting in His Word and in Him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that has not been made. Or not anything was made that wasn't made. No, I'm sorry. A weird translation here. And without Him was anything made that hath was not anything made that hath been made. Anyway, sorry about that. in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness apprehends it not. When you turn on a light, when you walk into a room and you turn on the light switch, where does the darkness go? It tries to hide where it could find shadow. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, when you are full of Christ, that darkness has to flee. There's no room for darkness. When you're fully in line with God, there's no room for darkness. The darkness has to flee. And all you have to say is, Lord, rebuke this darkness. Take this darkness away. And please put it where you want to put it. And you know where God wants to put it. He wants to put it in the pit of hell, where it will stay there for all eternity. And that is where it will be punished. So praise God Almighty for the deliverance that He has given us, for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, not to do what we want, but to do what He wants. How do we know what He wants? Because it's in His Word. All the way from Bereshit, all the way to Omen at the end of Revelation. Everything we need to know, everything we need to live by is in His Torah. It is proven there. The Messiah is in there. In the beginning, in the middle, at the end. Before the beginning, and even after the end. Because with Him, He is the beginning. He is the end. There is no time. There is no space with Him. He can go wherever He wants. He is omnipresent. He is all-knowing. And He is all-loving. Amen. He loves each and every one of you. And He is here to deliver. If anybody else needs deliverance today, don't hesitate. Today is the day. Today is the day of rejoicing. Today is the day of redemption. Today is the day of reconciliation. Take the freedom. Grab hold of God's talit. Grab hold of God's wings and say, Lord, take me where you want me to go. I will follow you, God. And He will take you and you will not regret it. Amen. What about this? What about my family? What if I have to give this up? I don't know if I want to give this up, but I really enjoy this. I don't know if I can. Give it up. Give it up. What is it worth to gain the whole world and lose your soul? What is it worth, even if you're saved, to gain stuff and not let God move, to be stagnant? God doesn't want that for you. God wants to use you in a mighty, mighty, miraculous way. And He will take you far, much further than you've ever thought possible. If I may use me as an example, 5 years ago, I never thought I'd be here. Yeah, I wanted to be a motivational speaker, you know, through music and stuff, and do ministry. You know, I wanted to teach, yeah, but I never thought it'd be possible, you know. And this vision that I had, evidently it's from God. Amen. It's from God, and it's happening right now. This is it. This is amazing, and it keeps getting better and better. So, if I may use me as living proof, follow God. He will use anybody. Ask anybody here who knew me back then. Trench coat, big boots, long hair, strange, awkward makeup. You name it, it was... I probably did it, you know. But it was a strange lifestyle I lived. And this is a strange lifestyle now, but it's a good lifestyle. Because it's of God. Amen. So, praise God. Thank God for deliverance. God bless you all.
Yeah, and don't get talking about use me an example, because my wife still has a picture of me with a mullet. What? The rabbi had a mullet? Yeah. But you know what? Be careful of what you ask for, because God will use you where you're at. And you know what? Every time I see a guy with a mullet, I don't laugh at them like many of the others, the hipsters do nowadays. But I'm like, oh, I remember when I used to be like that. And praise God, God still loved me. Regardless of the bad haircut, God still loved me. Regardless of the eyeliner, God still loved me. Oh yeah, I did. Regardless of the big earrings I used to wear, God still loved me. Amen. And that's important. We have to remember that. Because it's true. God doesn't care where we're at in our lives. God just cares about where we're going. God doesn't care where we're coming from. God cares where we're going to. And that's really important. And you know, that's why he encourages us to put on that helmet of salvation. Because it's a reminder upon our head. And what's in our head? Our brain, right? The thought process. It's in our thought process, the reminder that we need to be thinking about the salvation of God. Praise God, we're not going there. And praise God, we know that you know, or we know because of what we know about the helmet of salvation, and we're thinking about it, about people getting saved, we don't have to go to that place where darkness has to go. In fact, I was talking with one of my mentors this week, and I tell you, I'm just so blessed. And we're talking about, you know, that God didn't make hell for sinners. It's not about the wrath of God for people. God made hell for Satan and his demons, right? The fallen angels. But because of sin, people have to go there. Because they can't be in his presence without the blood of Yeshua washing away the sins, right? And so with that, there's a choice, and that's why he wants that to be first and foremost on our mind. And this isn't a New Testament concept. Isaiah 59 says he puts on righteousness like a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. This is a biblical concept, not nothing new. And you know, when I think about helmets, and of course there's a lot of helmets that I've seen. I've got a couple in my garage. Specifically motorcycle helmets. The motorcycles are gone, but the helmets are still there. I'm praying. But you know, I've got some bicycle helmets. I remember kids back in the 80s were wearing skateboard helmets. I've seen, you know, those are involved in motorsports. You see the guys wearing the protective flame gear and the full helmets that are on their heads. Hockey players wear helmets. Football players wear helmets. There's got helmets for skiing. You know, you watch the English horseback riding. And they've got their little helmets on, right? I think secretly the Cowboys have a helmet underneath that hat, but they won't confess to it because they're too tough. Yeah. You know, there's rock climbing helmets, cricket helmets, lacrosse helmets. You know, I see the guys who are doing the boxing, the martial arts, and the sparring. They've got protection on their head, right? How about the military? Doesn't the military wear a helmet? Yeah, exactly. It's more than just a handy pot to cook your soup in at night. It actually protects their head. You know, construction workers wear the hard hats. The welders, they've got that full face shield in the helmet that's on. Deep sea divers wear helmets. Astronauts. They wear the big, you know, astronaut helmet's pretty important, right? Because if you don't have a perfect seal, your brain and the rest of your body get sucked out into space. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, firefighters, we see, you know, there's all sorts of people wearing helmets. The function of the helmet is to protect our head from injury while doing a task that has the potential to cause that injury. And think about it. The adversary wants to cause our head injury, right? He doesn't want us wearing the helmet of salvation. And of course that, you know, the oldest helmets, I kind of, you know, did a little historical search here, and they were most likely worn by the Assyrian military starting about 900 BCE. And they were made of leather, and the purpose was to help prevent injury from arrow strikes or sword blows. You know, that little padding might be the difference between a death knock and you still being able to fight through it if they get a glancing blow. And so with that, you know, I just kind of think about that. The helmet protects us. Now, of course, salvation is the act of saving or protecting from harm, risk, loss, or destruction. Yeah, it's that reminder in our head, hey, Jesus did this for us to protect us from harm, to protect us from the risk of evil, to protect us from loss. Remember John 10:10, that the thief has come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But he came for why? Why did Jesus come? To give us abundant life. Yeah. And of course, you know, we have salvation, that theological definition. It's the deliverance from the power and the penalty of sin. And Webster even goes as far as throwing the word redemption in there. We are being redeemed. We have been bought with a price. Yeah, and that's important. We need to remember that. Now, of course, the Hebrew word for salvation, you guys are going to like this, Yeshua. So if you say Yeshua saves, you're actually saying saves. Yeah. He saves, right? Something that is saved, delivered, aided, given victory, given prosperity, deliverance, health, helping, saving, salvation, welfare. Wow. Because you know what? We've been purchased. He's paying the bill. Amen? Yeah. And of course, we've got the Greek word, which is the same. It's sozo, which is to deliver, to protect, to save, to heal, to preserve, to be made whole. Because aren't we complete without Yeshua? Isn't there a God-shaped hole inside of all of us? And it's, we always think of all these people that keep on looking, they keep on searching, and they never find it because they don't put Yeshua there. They put other things there. The stuff. The relationships. The this, that, or the other. You know, the philosophies. They try to fill that God-shaped hole that only God can fill that hole. Only Yeshua can save. And you know, think about Yeshua. He is the salvation. You know, John 1:29 says, the next day John saw Yeshua coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He saw salvation coming towards him. And many of us remember that day when we saw salvation coming towards us, right? We saw Yeshua coming towards us. Yeah. And of course, what are we saved from? The effects of sin. That sin that leads to that separation from God. Because the Scripture tells us, you know, we need to be saved from sin because the wages, what's a wage? It's something you earn, right? We go to work. Many of us go to work because it's not like, ooh, I want to spend all my time here. But it's, ooh, at the end of the week, they write a check, pay to the order of me, and then I can, you know, buy groceries, take care of my wife, take care of my kids, all of that other stuff, and I give a portion back to God. We earn a wage. That's why we go to work, right? God's word says the wages of sin is death. And in one of my Bibles, I've got death lined out, and I wrote hell in it. The wages of sin is hell. Yeah. And of course, sin leaves us defiled. You know, I was watching a movie the other day, and you know, this guy, his father's dying, and likes to be in the water and all this stuff, and his dad was concerned because the pool was all yucky in the backyard. Babe, could you clean the pool? And just kind of looking at that going, oh, who'd want to dive in that? They showed all this green stuff floating in the algae. It was just horribly sick. Ugh. But you know what? That's what sin does for us. It leaves us icky and yucky, right? It leaves us defiled. Psalm 51 says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. How many of you, I mean, seriously, doesn't the adversary always try to remind us of our past? Yeah, one of my mentors used to tell me, says, hey, you know, Jim, if the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. And what a great concept that is. And then as I started to read scriptures, I'd come across verses like Romans 8:1 that says, there is no condemnation for those who are saved in Yeshua, salvation, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Yeah! So, if we have been truly saved, if we have done this, there's no condemnation. We don't have to think about the past. How many of you have made mistakes in the past? Everyone's hand goes up, right? But guess what? We're not looking back, because when you look back, what did Dave tell us last week? When you look back, it's really hard to walk forward. Yeah, it is. You know? And really, let's focus on what's going forward. You know, listen to that Boston song a couple of times over and over. Don't look back. You know, we're not going to look at that junk, right? Right. We're going to look forward. We're going to look forward. Because that stuff has already been dealt with. Jesus already paid for that stuff. And once we ask forgiven, what does he do? He throws it in the bottom of the ocean floor and it's remembered no more. Remember in Tosh Leak, we threw those rocks in to say, hey, we're going to forgive people like God forgives us. We're going to throw these rocks into this pool of water. And it's never going to, these rocks aren't going to be seen again. Just like because of our forgiveness, we're not going to remember these sins anymore. Just like God doesn't remember our sins. Once we've asked, you know, once we call upon him, right? Because we've got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. We've got to call upon Yeshua. And of course, sin leaves a stain, right? I think of all this, you know, the emotional scars that I've had, or the relationship scars that I've had, the stains that have been put upon me by my behavior. But there's hope. Isaiah 1 says, "Come now, let us reason together," says Hashem. "Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." See, sin leaves a stain upon each and every one of us. And the only cleansing agent that can get that sin out is the blood of Yeshua. It is the blood of God. God is the only one that can cleanse that stain. I think of that old hymn. You know, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. You know, or that new song, "What can wash away our sins? One can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." There's a couple of songs out there because the blood of Jesus is that important. The blood of Yeshua. Hadam Yeshua. The blood of Yeshua is what washes away that junk. Yeah. And of course, how are we saved from sin? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation." Once you accept Yeshua Jesus as Messiah, you are a new creation. All that old stuff, well, listen to this. "Old things have disappeared, and look, all things have become new." And all of this comes from God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Messiah and given us the ministry of reconciliation. For in Messiah, God was reconciling the world to Himself. And listen to how He did this. By not counting their sins against them. So if you've been saved and you've asked God for forgiveness, guess what? Your sins are not counted against you. And if God is not counting your sins against you, then you shouldn't count your sins against yourself. And you shouldn't allow that adversary to get in there. "Hey, remember that time back in..." Well, in Dave's case, back in 1822. B.C. Just kidding. Yeah. Just remember, we're under grace, brother. But you know, think about these things. God doesn't hold this stuff against, and then the adversary starts to stir it up. Why does he do that? Because he wants us just sitting around going, "Woe is me," when there's a lot of low-hanging fruit out there that we need to go out and tell the good news about the Messiah. And he wants us to focus on the bad and the effects of the bad and the woulda, shoulda, couldas, when we really need to be focusing on the, "Yeah, it was bad, but guess what? My sins are washed away and yours can be too." He wants us to go out there and get that low-hanging fruit, right? And we are saved by calling upon the name of God. That's what Richard was telling us earlier. Great message, by the way, brother. Thank you. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. We are saved only by Yeshua. Only by salvation. Only by God's salvation. Yeah! And you know what? In Romans 10, I love this passage. In fact, I've been reading Romans, and I tell you, I used to think that I was all that when I was a lot younger. Oh yeah, I got Romans down. And now the more I read Romans, the more I realize I didn't have my Jewish goggles on. Oh wait, for Diane's sake, there we go. And I didn't understand a lot of these passages of Scripture. I was just reading Romans, not realizing that these were a lot of quotes from the Old Testament. Where I need to go back and read these and learn about these things before I can even digest it. And this time going through, it's just been amazing how God's just really opened up my eyes to all the Jewish culture and history and the Jewish interpretation that's in the book of Romans. It's all there. And one of my favorite things about the book of Romans, because it says, "Hey, you know what? We've got all these things." Yes. And, you know, we got verses like, you know, "May I go on sinning that grace may increase? May it never be." You know, hey, just because we're saved doesn't give us license to go out and do whatever we want. Right? But in that, and understanding that there's guidelines that God wants us to live by, to be examples, but we also get the simplicity of salvation. We understand that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We understand that for the wages of sin is death. We understand that we are only justified by faith. There's nothing we can do. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with our God. Through who? Through Yeshua HaMashiach. Through salvation. Right? Abraham's faith was credited as righteousness. We don't need to get circumcised. We don't need to jump through a bunch of hoops. Yeshua has already paid the price, and He's paid it in full. All we have to do is this. Confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord. Acknowledge Yeshua Jesus is God. Right? So you confess it or you declare it. And then you believe. you believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord means that, hey, I'm going to do my best to adhere to all that Jesus wants me to do, right? Because you're making him not only just saying, hey, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is God. Because what does James tell us? Even the demons believe that Jesus is Lord and they fear and tremble. And are demons going to heaven? No. It's more than just acknowledging that Jesus is God. But it's actually surrendering your life to him and saying, hey, you know what? I'm just going to be a servant. And I'm just going to do what you want me to do, God. Big things, small things, I could care less. I'm going to be content serving you. So we confess, we believe, and listen to this. For a person believes his heart and is justified. That faith that's in our heart justifies us, makes us right with God. I've heard it say, just as if I'd never done it. Yeah, it justifies us. And a person declares with his mouth and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be ashamed. That means you're not going to walk around going, well, that's sin. But it's going to be like, hey, I've been forgiven. Woohoo! Hallelujah! Right? Yeah. And with that excitement. And there's no difference about ethnic background here in Paul's really specific by saying there is no difference between Jew or barbarian. Meaning that there's no difference between somebody who studied all their Torah all their life or somebody who just ran free, you know, doing whatever they wanted to. If they confess with their mouth that Yeshua Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart, it, like you said, doesn't matter where you're coming from, it matters where you're going to. Right? Yeah. And there's no difference because all have the same Lord who gives, listen to this, who gives richly to just a few people who call upon him? No. Who gives richly to all that call upon him. All is an inclusive term, meaning everybody. And you know, I even think it's, you know, the Bible tells us to declare the good news and to preach the good news to all creation. The creation screams of his glory, right? We teach the good news to anything and everything that comes along. Oh, hey, there's a flock of crows. Praise the Lord. They'll do that sometimes. It's great. Yeah. And you got to remember this. Everyone who calls upon the name of God will be saved. Everyone who calls upon Yeshua will be saved. Now, there are some people that have gone off on this weird, freaky tangent and say, well, if you didn't pray in the name of specifically Yeshua to save you, you're not saved. If you call upon Jesus, you're not really saved. Are there those that are saying, well, you have to call upon Jehovah to be saved? Well, first of all, for those of us who really understand Scripture, Jehovah is actually a word that came out of German because there was no J and there is no J in Hebrew. It's Yahweh. And really, you know what? I don't think God cares what language you call upon him. Whether it's English, whether it's Spanish, whether it's Aramaic, whether it's Arabic, whether it's Paleographic, he doesn't care. Just as long as the name that you use is the name in your language that means God and means the Son of God that come down and died for your sins and rose again, right? So you can call him Yeshua. You can call him Adonai. You can call him Yeshua. You can call him Jesus Christo, right? Doesn't matter. Call upon his name in the language that he has given you, and you will be saved. Yeah. And belief is the thing that justifies. And of course, in this belief that also acknowledges that Jesus died for our sins, and died for your sins, died for my sins, and he rose again, giving us that hope of the resurrection. You know, I think of what we say at Passover. If he would have just died for us, it would have been enough. But he rose again, proving that he will do the same for us. Amen? Yeah. He's going to do the same for you and the same for me. So, you know, and that's important that we wear that helmet of salvation for believers. We need to have these concepts first and foremost in our minds. So that way when we look and see somebody in sin, it's just like, oh, whoa, look how they're behaving. Oh, I'm concerned. Because the wages of sin is death. And out of genuine love, you know, what did the Apostle Paul write later in the book of Romans? I wish that for the sake, because I love my brothers so much, I wish I could take their place in hell so they didn't have to go. Wow, talk about the love of God within somebody, right? I'm willing to sacrifice and give everything so these people don't have to go. Talk about wearing the helmet of salvation. That's where we need to be at. When we have problems with a co-worker at work, oh, that guy just rubs me the wrong way. Well, you know what? We all rub people the wrong way, right? Let's look at it beyond that. It's just a person. Let's look at it and say, hey, you know what? That person is rubbing me the wrong way. Every time he rubs me the wrong way, I'm going to commit to praying for his salvation and look for an opportunity. Because you never know the power of prayer. In fact, I used to think of, I'll share a couple of personal things that happened. This guy I used to work at couldn't stand it, this office that I worked in. And, you know, I wasn't walking with the Lord, and this guy claimed to be a believer, but he was just really a huge slacker at work, big talker, big mouth, pushed his way around. And I didn't like that. So I really liked his corner office because you could look out one window and you could see Newport Beach. That was only a mile or two away, and look down at Newport Harbor, and you can look out the other window and see the snow-capped mountains. That's a nice office to have. And all the other offices had glass windows where you could see in the office, and I didn't like living in a fishbowl, but this one had solid doors so no one can see what I was doing because, you know, I used to get my work done and then I used to mess around for the rest of the day. And so this guy really rubbed me the wrong way. And I'm like, oh, I can't stand this guy. So finally, I'm just like, oh, you know what? This guy's really, he's causing a problem. He's, you know, blah, 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 blah. I think it's because that no one can watch over him. Could you move him, please? Oh, well, why don't you trade offices with him? Would you be willing to do that? Oh, yeah, sure. So here I had the corner office, and no one could see me just, you know, because I'd work fast, get my work done, and then I'd mess around for the rest of the day. And then, you know what, the business, you know, I departed that business shut down. And then I get my life right with God, start going to a church and a house of worship. And who should go to the same place? This annoying guy, and he was still as annoying as ever. And I'm like, oh goodness. And then of course, it's like, oh, he's an annoyance. So of course, leave it to my mom.
Jim?
Yes, Mom.
You need to pray for him.
And I kept on hearing that in my head over and over. I'm like, well, every time he would say something, I'd just start praying and start praying and start praying. Well, I will say this. Because of the prayer of, Lord, change me if I'm the problem. And keep working on him and help me to be patient with my brother. When they moved 3 years later, we were sad to see them leave. The last week that they were there. In fact, so sad that we said, hey, let's just go spend a couple hours and go and have lunch together. And we just took over a Korean restaurant and we fellowshipped. And we still stay in touch via social email, you know, social media and email and stuff like that even today. But because I saw that annoyance and because I had that good, godly advice from my mom. Hey, if that person annoys you, pray for them. And so, how many of you guys have annoying people that you work with, or annoying people that you live with, or annoying people that you... Yeah, exactly. Wait, Carol, you live by yourself. You have an annoying person you live with?
That cat.
That cat. Oh, pray for Marble. Yeah, sometimes we get annoyed with ourselves, but we really need to have the power of prayer behind us and put on the helmet of salvation and say, hey, what's really going on here? What is really taking place? And it's important. Because, you know, without a helmet, we can get hurt. And I'm going to share a little bit about my personal story about a time that when I was in college, and I remember I was late for a class and, you know, just kind of jogging down this walkway. And there was this guy who, him and I just didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And from what I can remember, he decided that when we came across this cinder post that was made out of concrete blocks, that he would push me into it. And he pushed me so hard that I had 32 stitches that I had to get, and I had a major concussion. And with that, I blacked out, and I was bleeding over myself and others. And of course, the doctors, along with many others, had to take their time. They put stitches in and staples and were tending my wounds and all of that. And it took me 6 weeks to really start recovering from that. In fact, I still have the scar when I, you know, when my hair gets really short or when I decide to shave my head. I've got this nice, big, huge scar that sits right there. And, you know, I couldn't wash my hair for a couple of weeks. I wasn't allowed to sleep more than a few hours at a time. Of course, I was on pain medication. I couldn't think straight. And the removing of, this is before they had those really cool stitches that dissolve. So they had to actually pull each one of them out. And you know what? Wow, I wish I would have had a crash helmet for that one. I wouldn't have missed class that day either, you know? But you know, I just kind of think of that. What happens when we have spiritual concussions? Don't we black out to the things of God? Yeah. And then others have to take their time trying to get us back, right? Because God says, you who are spiritual, if you see someone caught into a trespass or sin, come alongside them. And so it distracts them from going out and doing kingdom work. And then, of course, the recovery can many times be stinky for others and painful for us. I remember how the stench was. I couldn't wash my hair. It was stinky. Ew. And, of course, the lack of rest that I had physically, you know, I was a zombie going to class for the next couple of weeks. What about the same thing for us spiritually? If we're so busy spiritually sword fighting with brothers and sisters because they don't get it, right? It's sad. And of course, that can render us spiritually ineffective for weeks at a time. And you know what? That's what the adversary wants. But we got to put on that helmet of salvation. And having salvation on our minds at all times, if we agree to do that as a body, that will prevent us from spiritual concussions. And it also will allow us to live our lives in such a way that we are constantly looking for ways to complete our task of the Great Commission. We've got a job to do, people. You know, and for those of us who have that relationship with the Messiah, you know, I once again leave it to my mentors. You know, Dave was like one time going, hey, you know what, Jim, think about this. This is God's plan of salvation, right? I'm like, oh, yep. And he goes, don't you think that God could have, because he's God, could have said, hey, you know what, as soon as someone gets saved, harpazo, they're gone. He could have done that, right? Oh, yeah, he could have. So think about this. He chose not to. What are two things that we can do on earth after we accept Yeshua Jesus as Messiah that we won't be able to do in heaven? And I just paused and I thought about it. I'm like, oh, we're not going to sin anymore. Yeah, God didn't leave us to sin. That's not why we stayed here. Well, guess what? Everyone that's staying in heaven knows the Messiah. So we're not going to be able to tell anybody else about the Messiah there because everyone there... they're there because of the salvation that they received in Yeshua, right? So why did God leave us here? So that we could tell others about the Messiah. So that we can disciple others and teach them to do the things of God. And really, the adversary, he's trying to distract us, right? He wants us to take off that helmet of salvation. He wants us to quit thinking about these things. And... but instead... what does Yeshua want us to do? He wants us to keep on the helmet of salvation as a perpetual reminder that we need to be in the presence of God at all times. Because when we're in God's presence, that way we know when the Holy Spirit says, go. Hey, there's somebody over there. Helmet of salvation. Oh, yeah. Spirit, yep, get over there. Ask him the 5 questions. Get over there. Take him out to lunch. Amen, right? Yeah, get over there. They're going through a rough time. Why don't you just put your arm around them? Don't preach to them. They're going through a rough time. Just put their arm around them. Just say, hey, I'm just genuinely concerned. I'll be praying for you. That right there is very effective, right? Because, and then don't just say, hey, I'm going to, you know, I was talking to TJ about this. I hate when people say, yeah, I'll pray for you. And they just walk away, you know? Now, sometimes in a work situation, you can't just be like, oh, okay, stop the production line. Dear Yeshua! You know, I understand you can't do that. But you know what? Just say, you know, your will be done, Lord. And then make sure that you go wherever you need to go and pray for them for your next break time. And that gives you also a good reason to show up later and say, hey, did God, you know, I prayed for you. What did God do for you? Oh, it was amazing. We've seen it happen, haven't we? I've heard testimonies from you guys. And you know what? And then Bill's got like a book of stories about all the people that, you know, that's why he sits in his office at a school district. The government pays him to solve problems and to minister to people. Praise God, right? Yeah. And so here's my challenge this morning. Is the Spirit prompting you? Is the Spirit moving upon you? You know what? Have we not been putting salvation on our minds? You know, and with that, let's just go ahead and just bow our heads and just close our eyes for a moment.